Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
Hello and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking. So glad that you could join us this morning. Today's topic is rooted in God's love. Let me say that again, rooted in God's love. And our broadcast today is sponsored through the generous support of Jim and Judith Cran. A special thank you to this fine Christian couple who is making today's broadcast possible. Well, rooted in God's love. This is an important topic because too often we as Christians try to earn God's love, but he's calling us to live out of his love, to receive it freely, gladly, and then to simply live out of it in response and gratitude to it. And so today we want to fill up on his love and learn all about his love. And to do that, we're going to look at one of two prayers in the book of Ephesians. It's a prayer for enlightenment from Ephesians chapter 1, a prayer for enlightenment. Next week, we'll be looking at the second prayer, which is a prayer for enablement. But today, enlightenment. And reading now for you from chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 15, this is written by the Apostle Paul. He identifies himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God in Ephesians 1:1. And Paul tells us, also in Ephesians 1:1, that he's writing to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. Saints refers to Christ followers or Christians. We can equally say that this letter is for the saints in Ottawa, the Christ followers in Ottawa. Lastly, we should just point out that when Paul is writing this letter, he is a prisoner in chains. He was a Roman prisoner at the time. And so reading now from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, and this is his prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Thanks be to God. Well, we're going to pause and listen to a beautiful, beautiful hymn that you know well, the Lord's Prayer. It's played by Judith Cran from her CD entitled Reverie.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're talking about the theme of being rooted in God's love. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, and in particular a prayer written by the Apostle Paul. What's interesting is that at the time of writing this, one of the key temples in Ephesus was the Temple of Diana. Now, this temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and the worship of this goddess was jealously guarded. People in Ephesus were infatuated with Diana. And into this context, Paul sends a letter, and his prayer is one of enlightenment. Next week, we'll look at his prayer for enablement. And he wants the Ephesians, namely the Christians in Ephesus, to be infatuated not with Diana, but with the triune God, the God of the universe. We know this because in Ephesians 3:17, he says, "May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in his love." Well, we're going to look at Paul's prayer in detail now, and we're going to see in this prayer that the Trinity is at work. The Trinity is at work. We're going to look at three parts to this prayer. We're going to look first at the source of God's love, which is God the Father. Then we'll look at the supplier of God's love, which is God the Son. And lastly, the seal of God's love, which is God the Holy Spirit. Let's start then by looking at the source of God's love, namely God the Father. Interestingly, in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14 comprise one continuous sentence in Greek. In the conventional Greek letter, you have the salutation in verses 1 through 2, and then it's followed by a blessing. One continuous sentence, a blessing and thanksgiving in verses 3 through 14. So let's look first at the source of God's love in this passage, namely the work of God the Father. We see in these few precious verses that God the Father has blessed us, has chosen us, and has adopted us. And so let's look at that. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ." Blessed us. Blessed us with what, friends? It says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Or as the Living Bible translates it, has blessed us with every blessing in heaven. Did you catch that? How blessed are we? The believer is the recipient of all spiritual blessings. And so we do not need to seek additional blessings from God. We must instead appropriate the ones that already have been provided. Now, we haven't just been blessed in God the Father. We have been chosen by God the Father. That's in verse 4 now. Verse 4, just as he, God the Father, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. There's the theme of love again. The Living Bible puts it this way. He decided to make us holy in his eyes. We who stand before him covered with his love. Well, this idea of being chosen is the best news ever. Perhaps you are listening right now and you've always felt that you were an accident. Or maybe you felt that you were an unpleasant surprise. Or that you were a mistake, that you were not wanted by your earthly parents. And here we see in Ephesians 1:4 that you were actually chosen by God the Father. You're no accident, listener. You're no accident. St. Augustine explains, God the Father chose us, not because we believed, but that we might believe. And the message says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for long before we first heard of Christ. He had his eye on us, and he had designs on us for glorious living. So, listener, you are chosen, and you're chosen in Christ. That's an important phrase here. Notice God the Father did not choose you in yourself based upon your own merits. No, he chose us in Christ, which means based upon Christ's merits on the cross. St. Augustine also said that God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. Isn't that beautiful? So you are blessed by the Father, you are chosen by the Father, and then you're wondering, well, when was I chosen by the Father? Was I chosen in 2005? No, it says in Ephesians 1:4, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, according to the Message translation. We were chosen, friends, before the foundation of the world. John Piper explains that before the creation of the universe, God thought of me. He fixed his gaze on me and he chose me for himself. This is the most glorious truth of the Bible, that he chose us. You were chosen, listener, in Christ based on his merits. You don't have to do a thing. And before the foundation of the world. So you are blessed by God the Father. You are chosen by God the Father. And now you are also, it says in Ephesians 1, adopted by God the Father. We see this in verse 5. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5 in the NIV puts it this way: in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Friends, this is your destiny. That's the word predestined. Your destiny is to be adopted into the family of God. Adoption in the New Testament refers to the official act of a father who bestows the status of full adulthood on a son of minor status. It's not the taking in of an outsider. It is the placing of a family member into the privileges and blessings of adulthood. So now you ask, well, why did God the Father adopt us? And the answer is right there in Ephesians 1, verse 5. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. Rick Warren explains, God is love. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. He wanted us. Friends, I want you to soak up this truth that you've just heard. May it enlighten your inner spirit. God the Father, who is rich in love, he has blessed us with every blessing in Christ. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world to the object of his affection. And he has adopted us into his family. Oh, how rich the love of God the Father. We're going to pause and listen to a beautiful song by Chris Tomlin called Good, Good Father. And when we return, we're going to look at the love of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. We're looking today at being rooted in the love of God. And we have been looking at Ephesians chapter 1, specifically at the prayer of the Apostle Paul, who prays that we would be enlightened with an awareness of God's love for us. We've looked at God the Father. Let's look now at the supplier of God's love. We looked at the source of God's love, which is the Father, now the supplier, which is the Son. And I want you to see that so great is the love of the Son that He redeems us, He forgives us, and He endows us. Let's look at this. First of all, verse 7, it says that we in Christ have redemption through His blood. Friends, redemption is a fancy word that means to purchase and set free by paying a price. And the term redemption was especially applied to the ransoming of slaves. You see, there were about 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire at the time of Paul's writing. And often these slaves were bought and sold like mere pieces of furniture. Now, a man could purchase a slave and set him free. But in this passage, we're learning that Christ Jesus has purchased us. He has purchased us and set us free. Now, perhaps you're wondering, in what way am I a slave to anything? Well, we know from the book of Galatians 5:1 that we are a slave to the law without Christ. And so we've been set free from the law in Galatians 5:1. We're free from slavery to sin, according to Romans 6. We've been set free from the power of Satan and the world in Galatians 1:4. So Christ, who is the supplier of God's love, has redeemed us. He has also forgiven us. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And the word forgive literally means to carry away, which reminds us of the ritual on the Jewish Day of Atonement when the high priest sent a scapegoat into the wilderness, according to Leviticus 16. First, the priest killed one of the two goats and sprinkled its blood before God on the mercy seat. Then the priest would confess Israel's sins over the live goat and had the goat taken into the wilderness to be lost. Well, friends, Christ died to carry away our sins into the wilderness. Christ is our scapegoat. So he has redeemed us, he has forgiven us, and lastly, he has bestowed upon us an inheritance, so great is his love. You know, often Christians think that their inheritance consists of dwelling in heaven, but N.T. Wright says it this way, the inheritance Paul has in mind is the whole world when it's been renewed by a fresh act of God's power and love. Paul has said in verse 10 that God's plan in the Messiah is to sum up everything in heaven and earth. Well, another way to explain this, according to the American Standard Version, is that in Christ, we were made an inheritance. This is another possible translation. Both are actually true. And one includes the other. In Christ, we have a wonderful inheritance. You can look at 1 Peter 1 for further elaboration on that. But in Christ, we are an inheritance in that we are valuable to him. You see, God the Son is the Father's love gift to us, and we are the Father's love gift to his Son. So we can see that God the Father is the source of love, and the Son is the supplier of God's love. Let's close out by looking at the seal of God's love. The seal of God's love is God the Holy Spirit. We see this in verses 13 through 14 of Ephesians 1. We will see that the Holy Spirit both seals us and pledges us. First, the sealing. Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel, and had believed in him, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? The word seal is used at least three different ways in the New Testament. In Matthew 27, the tomb of Jesus was secured by sealing it and putting guards around it. So one meaning is to lock something up and close it in. In Romans 4:11, where Abraham's circumcision is called the sign and the seal of righteousness, this meaning refers to giving a sign of authenticity. Thirdly, in Revelation 7:3, we see the seal of God is put on the forehead of God's servants to protect them from the wrath coming upon the world. So what does this mean? It means that God sends the Holy Spirit for three things: a preserving seal to lock in our faith, an authenticating seal to validate our sonship, and a protecting seal to keep our destructive forces out. The point is that God wants us to feel secure and safe in His love. Now, if this isn't enough, this seal of the Holy Spirit, He gives us one more thing through the Holy Spirit, and that is a pledge, or a guarantee, or a down payment. Look at verse 14. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption, to the praise of His glory. The word guarantee here is the word arabon, which is originally a Hebrew word, which seems to come into Greek usage through the Phoenician traders. And it had two meanings. In ancient commercial transactions, it signified a first installment or a deposit or down payment. But it was also used in modern Greek for an engagement ring. Friends, I want you to meditate upon that. The idea that God the Father has lavished upon you an engagement ring, a pledge through His Holy Spirit. Friends, you are signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. And think about what the engagement ring means. The engagement ring is a promise of a life to come with a spouse, a partner, a lover, a friend. C.S. Lewis says, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Friends, I hope you are feeling the love of God upon you today. The source of His love is the Father. The supplier of His love is the Son. And the seal of His love is His Holy Spirit. And how do we respond? Well, with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24, we respond this way: grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.